In the year 2016, there were 50 million people over the age of 65. And if all of those people held hands, they'd wrap around the world twice. We're going in this direction, and we better get prepared.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Engaging Conversations, the podcast to help you help your parents navigate the aging process. I'm your host, Cheryl Smith. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to episode 49. Before I introduce today's guest, I just wanted to take a moment to remember a dear friend. Miss Nancy Lobb passed away last week. She was 98. She actually was a guest on this podcast on episode 6. She talked with me about senior independent living because of her years of experience with it. I highly encourage you to check out episode 6. Nancy was a very smart lady with years and years and years of wisdom, and the world is going to miss her. As my grandmother would have said, she was a hot ticket. I had talked with her on more than one occasion about my goals for trying to do something different with my work life and figure out a work-life balance that worked better for me. And back in November, she told me to go for it, girl, because if you wait till you have the time, you're not going to have the energy. So do it now. Those are sage words of advice from Miss Nancy Lobb that I took, and I highly encourage you to consider the same. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce my guest. Her name is Kelly Bradley. Kelly is a native Oregonian who has been providing care to seniors both personally and professionally for over 20 years. Kelly's mother was diagnosed not only with diabetes, but endured every other complication associated with this awful disease. As a result, Kelly herself acted as her mother's primary caregiver. As a family, they worked together to provide the best care possible, but quickly found taking care of a family member is a full-time job. Kelly and her family went through everything from skilled nursing homes, home health, in-home care, and eventually hospice. The support proved to be imperative and allowed Kelly and her family to step out of the role of caregivers and back into their God-given roles of daughters and sons. Caring for her mom led Kelly to run one of the nation's leading in-home care companies. During her time, the organization served over 1,000 families and employed hundreds of caregivers. Kelly realized that there were many other individuals and families in the same situation as she once was, confused, scared, and not sure what to do next. The devoted daughter was born. Kelly embraced the unmet needs from her caregiving journey and those of others she has served over the years and put together a comprehensive model for families. There is so much information available, but how do you sort through it all and determine what is best for your family? The devoted daughter offers you a systematic approach to a heartfelt journey, a company dedicated to supporting families and individuals who are caregiving and helping to guide them with the information she wished she had known. Joining me today is Kelly Bradley. Kelly is the founder of The Devoted Daughter. So welcome, Kelly.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks for having me, Cheryl.
It's a pleasure. I'm really looking forward to talking with you, hearing about your backstory and your whys, because I know that you weren't always in this caregiver business. Give us a little background about your life before you became a caregiver for your mom.
Well, I was in my late 20s and just kind of doing my thing. Had my first real job in the corporate world, trying to focus on that and, you know, get my feet wet and figure out what it was going to take to be successful. I was in telecommunications, which is a really volatile field at the time, right when technology was kind of making its way under the scene. And just, you know, here and there visiting with my mom. She was living in the same house where we grew up. It was a large home. I have a brother who's 14 years younger. He was still at home at the time. So I was popping in and out and helping them with things here and there. But one of the things that started to happen was she just started to need more help with things that she'd been able to do really independently before. And I just didn't recognize it. I just sort of thought the house is getting too big. You know, it's getting to be too much for her to manage this. But slowly but surely, things started to snowball out of control.
Yeah. How old was your mom?
My mom was in her 50s.
So young.
Yeah, she was very young. And I think that's why it was hard for me to recognize. It was like, you know, since when does she need help taking care of her bills? She's done all this herself independently. I mean, it just didn't dawn on me.
Yeah, and with a sibling 14 years younger, that was a lot on your shoulders. I mean, it's one thing when you can bounce something off of a sibling and say, hey, what do you think? But, you know, did you have that opportunity with your brother?
I have another brother who's 3 years younger than I am. So then we had the big gap with my younger brother. But when my mom was diagnosed with diabetes, my younger brother was only 16. You know, so he still needed a mom and care. And so I sort of fulfilled both of those roles without seeing it very clearly.
Wow. So that was a lot. Did you have children at that point too?
I did not. No. Thank God.
Right. Well, yeah. Cause you inherited a 16-year-old, right?
And my mom, and you know, my mom and I would laugh about it. It was like, oh my gosh, thank God I don't have kids. Like, what would I do? I have my plate full with you.
Right. So you were a caregiver for many years.
I was. And it, interestingly enough, it wasn't until years later, after I'd done everything you can do imaginable as a caregiver, and someone said to me, one of my coworkers said to me, you know, you weren't able to do that at the time, Kelly, because you were a caregiver for your own family. And I went, oh, you're right. I was. But I didn't think of myself as a caregiver. I just thought, you know, I'm just a daughter doing what daughters do. This is what you do when you're a family.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's kind of morphed your whole world over time and changed your career trajectory.
It did. And as my mom, I mentioned my mom was diagnosed with diabetes, and it's such a dreadfully terrible disease. And I think when she was diagnosed, her father had had diabetes. And so she wasn't taking it super seriously. She just thought, okay, this is a manageable thing, but it took over her body. And everything that could go wrong did go wrong. So it started slow, but then it just was, you know, we couldn't get through one thing fast enough before something else was happening. And I think people don't realize that in our country today, in the year 2016, there were 50 million people over the age of 65. And if all of those people held hands, they'd wrap around the world twice. We're going in this direction, and we better get prepared.
Yeah, I agree 150%. You know, medical miracles, medical technology, whatever you want to call it, has gotten us to the point where we can treat just about everything. And that has increased life expectancy. So everybody's kind of heading down this slippery slope where, you know, people have significant medical issues that need to be managed, and kids are going to wind up having to step up to the plate and help their aging parents. Hopefully aging. Sometimes it's not. Maybe they're younger.
Yeah, like me.
Yeah.
You know, when this happened to me, it's kind of an odd place to be also, because most of my friends' parents were retiring and they had children of their own. So they, you know, were enjoying grandparents and different vacations, and we were not doing that. You know, that was not the thing for us.
Yeah. So what, I mean, where was your support system? Who was your support system?
My siblings and my spouse and good friends, but it was hard for people to, I think, understand and relate to what was going on. I remember times thinking, you know, somebody would call me and say, hey, can you go to this party, or we're going to be doing this on Saturday. And I was like, I always had to decline. And I declined for a couple of reasons. Either I was dealing with something critical or urgent with my mom, or I was just so exhausted. I thought the last thing I want to do is go to a party.
Right. Well, I was just going to say, in addition to that, I mean, if none of your network of friends or colleagues were going through this, you know, you were flying by the seat of your pants as far as, like, you know, how do you manage this? How do you manage that? Right. I mean, where were you getting your information?
Yeah. I mean, we were getting information anywhere we could. And my younger brother was in medical, he ended up going to medical school. So, and my sister-in-law is a nurse, and I just am a bulldog. So between the three of us, you know, you're just digging and asking questions. And at the time that my mom's health started to get more complex, primary care was sort of just coming into favor. And I remember my sister-in-law saying to me, you know, she needs to have a primary care doctor. And I was like, no, I can do it. I don't need all that. And we found a physician's group that where you have to pay a fee each year.
Oh, like a concierge service.
Doctor. Yeah. But it was amazing for us because her healthcare needs were so complex. And as you asked the question, you know, where are you getting the information? Eric, her primary care doctor, he was great. I mean, I could email him. I could read about something. My brother could send me information and I could run it by him and say, what do you think about this? Because she was so medically complex that no one really had the answer.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure there were multiple answers.
Mm-hmm. And multiple people that we needed to coordinate with, excuse me, and make sure that everybody was on the same page. And I think that is important for your listeners to understand is a lot of times I see folks that assume that they just think their doctor knows everything they're taking, you know, and they need to be prepared with the list of current medications. And that doesn't mean prescription medications only. That's over-the-counter medications, any herbal remedies that they're taking. So many drugs are available over-the-counter now that people walk in and self-medicate, and their doctor doesn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, that's just one of the many things that's, you know, whoever is taking the lead on the medical help for their parents, one of the many things that they need to keep track of. It's very complex. So with your experience, how long did you stay in your corporate life? You know, when did you start to transition? Because you actually started an in-home care agency, correct?
I did. One night in the hospital with my mom, I was at the point where the bottom was falling out, and I looked up and I saw others in that same situation. And I just thought, what could I do? How could I help other people? And how could I make a difference with this flood of individuals that are coming in that need help and families? And that's when kind of the light bulb went off for me. And I thought, I think I can do this. I'm doing this for my mom. I can show others the way. And that's when I started the in-home care company. And I did that for the last 11 years.
So what was that transition like from your, you know, 9-to-5, I'm assuming it was, corporate life to, you know, running a company with healthcare providers?
It was tough. I think it was difficult for me as well because you start to care about people, you want the best for them. And I had a difficult time setting boundaries. So I was trying to do all the things that I was doing for my mom for my clients. And, you know, it took me a long time to sort of figure out that I can't do all of that. You know, there are lines and not everybody cares about it either. So reassessing what was important and what made sense for people. The bottom line is health and safety. And if you can go and do other things, that's great. But, you know, I found myself, you know, cooking and running to Costco, and I was just trying to do too much. But it's difficult when you see someone that needs help. You just, you know, you get into this field to help people, and then you have to back off a little bit because you can't scale to it. You're only one human.
Right, right. Well, and that's a very common thing that a family caregiver runs into. You know, you try to do mm-hmm. all the things, and it's the little things, the minutia that will, you know, kind of put you over the edge.
That's for sure.
So you ran this in-home care company for 11 years, you said. Why did you decide to let that go and move on to the next phase?
I think just something kind of deep down just kept gnawing at me. And I kept thinking to myself, you know, people would call me and ask for services or, you know, want to know more about in-home care. And they kept asking the same questions over and over again, or similar questions. And I just thought, there's more to this than just in-home care. People need more information. It's bigger than this. And in my personal experience as a caregiver, there were so many little things that if I would have known that, it would have made such a huge difference. So I wanted to share the message on a bigger scale with more people. And I thought it was time.
And that's where the Devoted Daughter was born?
The Devoted Daughter was born, yep. And I started, it started with a book. And I actually, the title of the book and the name of the company started out as The Oldest Sister. And as I started writing the book and getting into it, I thought, this isn't about being a sister, this is about being a daughter. So I had this whole shift of, you know, where I was going with the company, who I was talking to, what was important to the people I was talking to. It's been a great experience.
So what kind of services do you provide?
So we have a website, and there's tons of free information on the website. We also, the book will be available there, and the title of the book is Always Her Daughter. The other thing that we're doing is we've got a program that we call the Circles of Care, and that's really a one-on-one family planning program where we take people through step-by-step their family plan, organize their data, organize lists. The circles are categorized, and they sort of, the information ebbs and flows because you don't need it all at once, breaking that information down so that it's easy for people and not overwhelming. The other thing that we've done, and we've got our first one completed, we were just touching on medication management, is we've got online courses for folks who just want to work more independently. And those are available to them anytime. The first one is actually on medication management, but we're going to be doing another one in the next couple weeks on technology and the benefits of technology in the home and how folks can use that. We look at, you know, people's natural support systems. And I've heard people over the years say, well, you know, I'm the only one. And you really have to open your eyeballs and realize you're not the only one. There's people there that will show up for you that you don't even realize will be there when the chips are down. So we take folks through that process. And then we have links to really active on social media. So we have links to all of our socials on the website, thedevoteddaughter.com.
Yeah, well, I think it's great. I think any kind of resource that is available to somebody when they fall into the role of family caregiver, and actually, you know, proactively, even better. I hope some of my audience at least is not already on this road, but maybe looking at this road and getting armed with information to help, you know, because it's always better to be able to make choices, not in a crisis, right?
Yeah. I mean, I always say to people, I don't know about you, but I'm not very good when my back's against the wall. So making those decisions in advance and really just putting the olive branch out to your parents, you know, you can't talk to them about this all at once. So breaking it down and, you know, not just rushing in and getting groceries and helping with a couple of things, but actually spending a little bit of time with them to see and hear what they want. Because you may not be able to do everything that they want, but people just want to be heard. They don't want to be told what to do.
Yeah. You know what? I think that that's a huge lesson for kids, is that, you know, just because your parents are old doesn't mean that they're, you know, feeble. As long as they're alert and oriented times three, their decisions, even if you don't agree with them, are their decisions and it's their life. And you as their child are, or should be, supporting them, helping them carry out the decisions that they want.
Absolutely. And it's hard because, you know, families get in this situation where it's like, I don't have time for this, mom. You just need to do this now. You know, I've got my own kids. I've got my own life. I don't have time to mess around with you and dad. And just, it's a bad approach because, you know, you get into this, like, both of your backs are against the wall and you're pushing against one another. And so you don't make any progress.
Yeah. I mean, that's an example of, you know, trying to make decisions or under stress, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
What's the number one problem you see with families?
They wait too long. They just wait too long to get help. And I've heard people say to me, you know what, Kelly, I don't want to rock the boat. My parents are just fine. And I understand that. I get it. But I just want everyone to know that best laid plans can change on a dime. You know, what's happening today could, the bottom could fall out tomorrow. And none of us wants to talk about those things. You know, it's not a fun conversation to think, gosh, what if mom or dad had a heart attack? Then what would we do? We don't want to, you know, think about bad things happening.
Yeah, I think, so I interviewed a woman by the name of Kimberly Paul. Are you familiar with her?
I'm not.
She is, she's in North Carolina or based out of North Carolina. She has a background in journalism and television and moved back to North Carolina and started working in a hospice as kind of a transition job and wound up staying in this hospice for like 16 years. And wow. she is on a mission now. She's sold all of her belongings. She's bought an RV and she's traveling across the country talking to people about communication, about choices around death and dying. And what she said to me when I interviewed her was that people do want to talk about death and dying. They just need permission. I think, you know, a big part of the issue is like, you know, as kids, we don't want to bring it up. And as parents, you don't want to upset your kids, but, you know, just starting a conversation, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, down and dirty and deep initially, just starting, you know, starting to pick away. And that, I mean, that's the goal of this podcast is just kind of chipping away at that stigma that seems to surround talking about end of life. I mean, we are all going to die, all of us. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like, you know, why shouldn't we be able to talk about managing later stages of life and dying like you talk about planning for a wedding, planning for a baby shower, you know? I mean, people should get what they want. And the only way that's ever going to happen is if there's open dialogue about it.
Well, and I think also, you know, what, as I've reflected on losing, you know, my mom and my gran pretty much back to back and my dad, is a lot of those memories are lost. And I remember as you were talking, I was thinking about a conversation I had with my gran. She was trying to talk to me about dying. And she was saying things like, you know, Kelly, it's time. It's the cycle of life. And there's new babies coming into this family and there's new life and new energy. And that's natural. She wanted to talk about it, but I was like, I didn't want to lose her.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh, I don't want to talk about this. You know, it was hard for me. And I wish I would have started that dialogue with her sooner because I feel like I lost a big chunk of information and there are so many questions I have now where I just sometimes am like, Graham, what do you think about this? What happened with this?
Yeah.
And, you know, we're fortunate as a family that she wrote little notes on things. So she wrote down stories and notes and tucked them inside of her belongings so that we could see, oh, this came from this. Oh, this was, and it's just been such a treasure for us.
Yeah, that's a really nice thing. You know, again, another huge pearl, all the more reason to just start a conversation, even if it's awkward, even if it doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll get another chance, hopefully, to, you know, have the conversation again. And I think people would be surprised if you do bring it up. People are willing to talk about it. Your family is willing to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And the more you talk about it, the more, you know, those treasures, that those things that do get lost, because I agree, same thing, you know, there are ways to preserve them. It's just, it's all about communication.
It is. And with technology, the way it is now, you have so many opportunities to do that. I mean, when my mom and my grandma and my dad, well, when my dad was sick, they were available. But when my mom and my grandma, we didn't have cell phones with cameras and video on them. now it's so easy. You've got a communication device in your hand.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So you mentioned a book, and that it's not out yet, but it's coming out soon?
It's coming out in March of this year, and the title is Always Her Daughter. And it's really to honor my mom, but it's also to share stories and lessons learned over a decade of working with other families. And I think that what people will find in the book are not only great tips, but they're going to see themselves in other families. We all think that our families are unique and special, and they are. But at the end of the day, it's amazing how much common ground we all have.
Right. I agree. So you do some speaking as well?
I do. Yep. To groups, we do workshops. Obviously podcasts like this one. So on and off stage as well.
So what kind of groups do you speak to?
I've been speaking primarily to women's groups, and I'm in Portland, Oregon. So been speaking more locally here, but I'm looking to expand outside of my area as well.
And so how would people get a hold of you if they were interested in having you speak?
They can go to the website, thedevoteddaughter.com, or they can reach me at Kelly, K-E-L-L-I, at thedevoteddaughter.com.
Awesome. Anything else you want to tell us about?
I feel great about this. I really appreciate you having me, and I hope this has opened some eyes for people.
I hope so too. You know, I think that there are many of us in this space trying to enlighten people, educate people, and, you know, encourage communication, with the end result being, you know, a better experience as you go through this, because it's hard. It, you know, life is hard, death is hard, family dynamics is hard during all of this. And if you can just make it a little bit easier for people, I think that's what we're all trying to do.
Yep, I agree. 100%.
Yeah. Well, it was a pleasure to talk to you, Kelly. I think you're doing great work. Keep it up. And I look forward to seeing you, your business grow and educate many people.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, Kelly. You too.
Bye now.
Bye. That was Kelly Bradley. You can find out more about her and her company at thedevoteddaughter.com. She does speaking to small and large groups and individual education that is available through her website via courses and links to resources. She does have a book coming out that you can get information about also on her website. It's coming out in March, so stay tuned for that. And you can follow her on Instagram and Facebook. Links to her social media also on her website, and that's thedevoteddaughter.com. Check out my website, CherylSmithRN.com. That's Cheryl with an S, for links to resources we talked about today and show notes for this episode and for all the episodes of Engaging Conversations. I have more great guests lined up for you guys. I would love it if you would let me know if there's a specific topic you're interested in hearing about or a guest you'd like to hear me interview. Please let me know. You can leave a comment on my website or sign up for the email list and contact me directly. One last thing before I sign off, call your mom or dad and just tell them you love them. And Miss Nancy Lobb, you rest easy until we meet again. As always, I thank you guys for your attention, and I appreciate you listening. Please share this. And until next time, take care. Bye-bye.